You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want you to look, if you will, I want you to grab your listening guide that's in your bulletin, because we're going to have a little application time that we're going to fill out this listening guide together. Now, in this, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about what it means to pray in this next 2 weeks. But I want you to get the listening guide and grab that. And also grab your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's on page 838 of the Bible that's in front of you in the pew rack. Now, this past, just recently, I got to go on a trip to Dallas. Sometimes I get invited to go speak different places, and I enjoy doing that. I don't do it a lot, but I used to do it a lot, but now I don't do it quite as much. But I went up to Dallas. I took my little boy with me, and it was a great time. We always stay in a hotel that's got a pool so we can swim. We went to IHOP after the message so we could get chocolate chip pancakes at 9 o'clock at night. It's a big hit. Had a lot of fun. You know, great time. And so I am directionally challenged is what I am. I'm not afraid to admit it as a man. I will ask directions about anything of where to go. I'm just not good at that. So I get to the rent-a-car, and the rent-a-car's got a Hertz Never Lost GPS category or GPS thing in there. And I had also brought, because when I travel, I bring my own GPS with me as well. And so I've got my own GPS, so I put my GPS in the window, and I've got the GPS from Hertz here. And so my GPS, I named her Sheila, is what we call her. That's it. She just sounds like a Sheila to us in our family. So if you're Sheila, God bless you, and we think of you often. So we have this Sheila GPS right here, and we've got it. And so I started getting this idea. This will be great, because sometimes GPS sends you on the wrong way. I'll get both of them going at the same time to the same place. And I'll figure out a little test on which one is the best. And so we're driving, and I mean, it's like two ladies battling out. Right turn, 100 feet. Right turn, 75 feet. Right turn, 75. Right turn, 50 feet. Ding, ding, ding. Hertz would ding with the right turn. Sheila didn't ding with the right turn. She just said right turn, and that was it. So we keep going. So we kind of got interested in it. So we started making wrong turns to see who would say recalculating first on it. And so we kept going around, and we found our place. I mean, I found everywhere I was going was like to the money, on time, not late, early, to the money, the right place. Never got lost, never lost. And Sheila helping me out. It was two GPSs going at it at one time. That's what Paul is going to do for us in these two verses of Scripture in just a moment. He's going to put up two GPSs of our prayer life. He's going to put up two things that we can be praying for so that we can pray to find our way. And as we pray to find our way, we'll be able to go the right path. Prayer is a discovery point of God's will. That's how you discover God's will for your life, is you pray, you read the Bible, you do all of those things, you come to church. But prayer helps you to find your way. So let's put up one GPS with verse 1, and let's put up another GPS with verse 2. And what we will find is they will both be leading us to the same place. Here it is, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. The first GPS Paul gives us is this. He says, pray that the message would run. Pray that the message would run. He says, pray for us that the message may spread rapidly. If you were to look further into the Greek, what that means is that the message would run. I love that phrase. What a great thought. In your listening guide, you got to turn it a different way. It's all the way to the left. Pray that the message would run. All of us need to fill this out. Grab a pen. We're going to work this together, because at the end of this, we're going to end up with a prayer guide for this next week. So everybody grab this and do this. Pray that the message would run. Isn't that a great thing? Think about that. That the gospel would run, the good news of Jesus. That the message of obedience and the message of dependence on Christ would run. That's the first GPS, that the message would run. Let me ask you a question, as I've been asking myself this week. How would you have finished that sentence? Pray for us that, dot, dot, dot. How would you have finished that? Here's how I think I would have finished it. I wouldn't have been as mature or as spiritual as Paul. I think I would have finished it. Pray for us that everything would go really, really well for my life. Pray for us that that person in my family that is sick would be healed. Pray for us that the money that's running a little bit low would run a little bit higher. Pray for us that the things that are struggles for me would get easier. Pray for us that business would go up. Pray for us that the kids would walk with God instead of walking away from God. But Paul doesn't do that, and those are all great prayers. We should pray for ourselves, and it's okay to pray for things to go better. That's great. We should do that. I don't negate that. But Paul begins, and he says, pray for us that, not that I'd be healthy, not that I'd be wealthy, not that things would go great. Pray for us that the message would run. Do you see the difference in that? Here's what happens. In times of difficulty in our life, God turns up the volume of our message. When things are great, people go, well, sure you believe in Jesus. Why wouldn't you believe in Jesus? You got a big house on a cul-de-sac, and 2 cars, and 2.5 kids, and everybody smiles, and you do everything, and God's doing great things at the office. And well, of course you believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus too if it'll all work out like that. The volume gets turned up when they say, even when you have cancer, you mean you still believe in Jesus? Do you mean even in infertility, you still believe in Jesus? You mean even through that death, you still believe in Jesus? You mean even when your kids are running wild, you still believe in Jesus? You mean even when you've lost money, you still believe in Jesus? You're still faithful to Him? That's when the message runs. And Paul says, my prayer is not for things to go great. My prayer is not for everything to be peaches and roses. My prayer is that the message would run. Do you see the difference in the eternal nature of the things that he's praying for? Paul got more and more humble as he grew in Christ. In 59 AD, Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. In 63 AD, 4 years later, he said, I'm the very least of all the saints. In 84 AD, 21 years after that, he said, I'm the foremost of sinners. Paul's ministry went up and up, and Paul's prayer and humility went down and down, that he said, let the message run, not the messenger. And too many of our prayers are messenger prayers, not message prayers. And God centers it back. He says, I want you to pray that the message would run. It would be unchained. So take your listening guide, and we're going to fill this out together, just this top part, that the message would run. I want us to fill this out so that we could all be praying this week. I already filled out the top, that the message would run. Pray for the message to run at, on Monday, pray for it to be church. Tuesday, pray for the message to run in your home. Wednesday, in work or school. Thursday, in the city of Houston. Friday, in the USA. Now, I want you to write in those five blanks right now. Get a pen and write in five names that maybe do not know Christ or are not walking with Jesus in your family, at your office, at your workplace, whatever it is. Take right now. It's okay. I'll keep talking. I don't mind. You can look down. And write those names that say, I'm praying for the message to run to so-and-so. Might be the names that you wrote down on the floor when we dedicated this worship center. And not to rush you on this. You could take this and do this later as well. But I know what happens to these things. It makes it to the back seat of the car. Then it falls to the floorboard of the car. And then Wednesday when you get the car washed, somebody throws it away. So I want us to fill this out and get this so that we can really pray for these people that the message would run to them. And it says in the Word that it would be honored. Prayer is not just a sprint. Prayer is a parade. We take people with us as we pray. And we let God do His work. So Paul gives us our first GPS of the message running to people. And you take that and write down five names, five people you know, and you'll pray for them each day. Maybe they coincide with somebody at church, somebody at home, somebody at work, somebody in Houston, somebody in USA, a politician. But to pray for them and to ask God to do that. I've had on my nightstand the past week or so, and I've been just using it. It's been blessing my life. Another prayer thing, another resource. It's called Prayers for the Faithful. Marianne Bridgewater, right here in our church. Her husband was our previous chairman of deacons. I've had this on my nightstand, and it's prayer for missionaries. We've got it in the resource center right behind me on the first floor, right out there in the lobby, that you can grab this and purchase this and have this. Every one of us in here wants to pray more for missionaries. But if I started just picking out people and saying, tell me what country you prayed for this week. We got the intentions, but we don't have the actions. So I've been taking this. It's a little prayer guide. You just open it up. Yesterday, I prayed for Georgia. I thought it was a state. It's actually a country. So here we pray for different countries and different missionaries. You may want to grab that as well to pray for the message to run to these people to do that. In this, you will see that the GPS will begin to ding. Keep going, keep going, keep going. But he gives us a second GPS in verse 2. This is what he says. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. He prays for the message to run, and he prays secondly, right there in the bottom left, pray for protection. Pray for protection. Paul is praying for protection. He's saying, I want you to pray for me that the message would go out, but you've got to pray for me for protection because there's evil and wicked men. Now, this word evil is an interesting word. There's evil that is passive, and there's evil that is active. Passive evil basically would say this. Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sin. I'm going to do evil. I'm going to do whatever. And I don't care what you do. Doesn't matter. That's passive. I'm going to do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. This evil is active. It says, I'm going to do evil. And my goal is to invite you to do evil with me. Do you see the difference? One is, hey, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to do my thing. And we're going to walk away from God, me and my friends. But other says, I'm going to invite you to come. And I want you to hear me loud and clear because we're going to get to some heavy-duty stuff for the next 5-7 minutes. So hang on. Fasten your seatbelts. The evil within this world is an invitation, not just a declaration. The billboards are inviting you to be a part of that. The culture is inviting you to be a part of that. The things on TV are saying, inviting you to be a part of that. And that's what we feel in our spirits, and that's what we feel in our draw of our heart. It's not just we're going to do our own thing. It's now you must approve and welcome and celebrate our thing as we invite you to be a part of our thing. Do you see the difference? Now, how does evil hit us in today's society? I want to quote W.A. Criswell from First Baptist Dallas, the famed preacher of old. He said, this is what gets men, and it's also ladies. I'll change it at the end for ladies, but this is what gets most of us. Gold, glitter, and gals. Gold, glitter, and gals. Ladies, we'd add on there guys for y'all, okay? So gold, glitter, and guys, or gold, glitter, and gals, depending on your gender. What did he mean by that? This is what he means by that. It's the same thing that said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and what he does, the lust of the flesh comes not from the Father, but from the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, gold, glitter, and gals. Let's take them one by one. Gold is materialism. Every one of us has more than we could have ever imagined. If you think you don't have much, go with us on a mission trip to Houston on the Houston Project. We can show it to you very easily. But at the same time, none of us are satisfied by what we have. Andrew Carnegie was asked, how much money does it take to make a man happy? He answered, a dollar more. Isn't that true? We've all got stuff, but we want other people's stuff too. We've all got things, but we want one more thing. We've got this, but we want that. And we're never satisfied. We'll never be satisfied. We just got to realize that in our flesh, we'll never be satisfied. In our spirit, we can be satisfied in Christ. But we'll always want the latest and greatest. Gold is something we've got to protect ourselves against. Because gold can be that materialism that sucks us out. James chapter 1, verse 11. For in the same way, a rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. I've got a friend I've known for over a decade now that has a lot of money. God has blessed him tremendously in his business. He brings up this verse all the time. He says, Greg, I'm so afraid that I'll just fade away in my pursuits. The business is growing, and now it takes more of my time and more of my effort. And now I got more stuff, and it takes more upkeep. And I'm just afraid that I'm going to fade away in my pursuits. It's really easy to slip from 40 hours to 50 hours a week, from 50 hours to 60 hours a week, to finally somebody else is raising your kids. And you just fade away. You didn't decide to go away. You didn't put your stake in the ground and say, I'm done with this. It just faded away in your pursuits. It can happen to the best of us. Ross Perot pulled up to his house with a young intern type of guy, and the intern guy said, wow, what a huge house. And Ross Perot looked at him and said, you know how many things can break in a house that big? What's he saying? The upkeep of the upkeep of the upkeep of the upkeep of the upkeep, we just begin to fade away. Stuff is great. I'm more blessed than I ever thought I would be, and I'm grateful for it. But I don't want to fade away. You're more blessed than you ever thought you'd be, and you're grateful for it. But don't fade away. It's not stuff is not the problem. It's the attention the stuff requires when the stuff becomes the idol. And there's just one more thing to put on the shelf. Gold, glitter. What's glitter? Glitter is pride, it's fame. It's lifting it up and it's saying, wow, glitter, everyone thinks I'm all that. Pride is so deceitful. Pride is so deceptive. Pride cradles you and then drops you on your head. The shyest, most reserved person that appears to be meek could be struggling with pride in the deepest way. Because we're all trying to make a good impression. We're all trying to get people to like us. We're all trying to get our way. We're all trying to get pride on our side. And pride will cradle you and drop you on your head. And we must be protected because prayer, GPS, takes us to humility and it takes us lower. And the more we pray, the lower we get. We start praying with our head bowed. We move to our knees and then pretty soon we're on our face as our prayer life grows. So that pride, it's not this serpent that we hold. It's a snake that we throw away and say, Lord, no, I want to move to holiness and to humility because I know you're great and you're able to do it. This whole week, I mean, it's Michael Jackson overload. I don't grieve so much his death as I grieve his life. I see it and I go, what a sad life. Did he have the gold? Did he have the glitter? Yes, God-given talent, not given back to God that created worship, and then the one you worship dies. The king of pop may be dead, but the king of kings is not. And so in that, there's a sadness that we should see as we're going to watch it. You're going to see it for the next month, I bet. And we should pray for folks. I mean, I'm not making light of it. I'm sad he's dead. I mean, that's not a good thing at all, but there's a sadness to the life. And the gold and the glitter was there. Third and finally, gals or guys. Guys, let's talk about us first. And ladies, we'll talk about you. Every man in this room and every lady in this room has felt the physical feeling of lust in your heart. Every person in this room knows what it is to think an impure, lustful thought. Everyone in this room knows what it is to have a sexual thought that is not glorifying to God. Every one of us are on even ground. And in that, the gals, the guys, can snatch our life. Because here's the question now. I heard someone say this week. It's so good. The question is not, is there lust? The question is, how are you going to have to combat that lust? Is it virtual or real? Used to be it just had to be real. Now it's also virtual. Is it through the computer? Is it through reality? Either way, it will rip you apart. And so men and women, I tell you this, stay clean and clear because this is what happens. A lady begins to fantasize over a man that is more emotional and more sensitive and more caring. And as she begins to fantasize, she makes this perfect man up that is not like her husband. And she begins to think, oh, if he was only more like this, if he was only more spiritual, if he was only more emotional, if he was only more caring, and then insert more caring, more emotional, more spiritual man. And so now it doesn't begin physically, it begins emotionally. And so now this connection begins to happen. This man who gives all that this man, this husband, didn't, and now there's this connection. And for the man, what happens is the wife's doing the right thing and the good thing of taking care of all the kids, but every time he ever sees her, there's 14 kids hanging off her. There's a hair in a ponytail. There's no makeup. She's tired. She's weary. They get in a fight over X, Y, Z. And then he shows up at the office at somebody that's been getting ready for an hour and a half. He's dressed perfectly for the office, gets him the cup of coffee whenever he needs and does whatever he needs her to do, smiles and says, "Yes, sir." And then the fantasies begin to start. You get two people operating down those two roads and you end up with a great disparity within that marriage. And then you end up in some massive moral failure. But the gold and the glitter, it could never happen to me. I'm the governor. It could never happen to me. I'm the senator. It could never happen to me. And that pride drops you on your head. And I want to tell you as clear as I can tell you, there are men and women on the prowl. And I better stay clear. Here's the phrase in my mind. I would rather be thought rude than interested. I would rather be thought rude than interested. And rude with my personality is a hard thing. I don't like being rude. But I would rather be thought rude than interested. And that's where we've got to be, men. And that's where we've got to be, ladies. To say, you know what? Uh-uh. Because the gold and the glitter and the gals will wreck your life and it will be found out. It will come to the light. So you protect your heart. Protect your mind. How? Through praying that the message would ring forth from you and praying for protection, that God would protect you. Paul's not talking just about that here. He's talking about something even more serious in this specific thing. He's talking about literally physical protection. Do you know that God promised him physical protection? He's writing this story, this book of the Bible, not a story, this book of the Bible in Corinth. And in Acts chapter 18, Paul speaks to him while he's in Corinth. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack you or harm you. I have many people in this city." Paul heard from God, "You will be protected." But yet Paul in this passage asked for prayer of protection. Why? Either he didn't want to take protection for granted, or he was having a weak moment. God had promised him protection. And in this moment, he says, pray for protection. Do you know what he was praying for? He was praying for physical protection of persecution. Do you know that right now there's people in our world that are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, right now. And we're like, oh man, things are tough. They're really not as tough as they could be. A bulletin that I got from June 10th is when these updates were. On June 10th, the Nepal Defense Fund threatened to bomb 10 Christian homes in Nepal if the believers did not leave in 30 days. This was the quote written in the newspaper by the government because these Christians were threatening Hinduism. "We are giving these unholy elements, who are grabbing the authority of the people of the country under the cloak of religion, a notice of 1 month to leave the country. Otherwise, we will explode 10 bombs in the homes of 10 Christians in Nepal, for which we will take responsibility in advance," is what the man said that was the government official. Then in China, this month, a Chinese court sentenced a Christian bookstore owner, 38-year-old, I can't say his name, to 3 years in prison for illegal business operations and fined him $22,000 U.S., according to the China Aid Association, for having a Christian bookstore and giving Christian books to folks that were having churches in their homes. In Pakistan, there's a lady and her father that have been in prison for the last 8 months because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The persecution of gold, glitter, and gals, yeah, there's things we need to be protected from. But there's also something that we need to realize that deeper, there's people that are literally being persecuted for their faith. And students, I hope that makes you say, you know what, if I'm not as popular, it's okay, I'm not in jail. Parents, that we would say, you know what, if I'm not as popular, it's okay, I'm not in jail. And allow God to protect us through that. Paul promised protection. God promised Paul protection, and he still prayed for it. Look at your listening guide. This is what we're going to write down in our things, and then we'll close up. Pray for protection should be in that blank to the left. Against materialism, that's gold. Against pride, that's glitter. Against lust, that's gals or guys. Ladies, don't live for what men think of you. Live for what God has already said about you. Then Thursday, you can write down whatever it is that you want to pray for protection from. You can write that down. Fill in that blank, something else that you've got in your life. Friday, write the same thing, or write a different thing down, something you need protection from that's hindering your Christian walk. It might be laziness, might be busyness, but write that down. You can do that right now. If God laid something on your heart, you got a word, just write it down. Then we're going to pray for protection for, I put church staff on there for Monday to humbly put that before you, that we would be protected. Stronger than us have fallen, that God would protect us as a staff of this church. Then fill out three other things. You can put down different ministries that have blessed your life, different ministers, people, whoever it is you want to put down. You put your kids' names in there for protection, whatever it is. You write that down and put that in there. And then the last thing, to try to give some activity to what our intentions are, we're going to pray for missionaries. And that's where Marianne Bridgewater's book might connect just perfectly for you, to pray for missionaries. And then what's going to happen? We've got all this filled out. We're going to put this, you put this in your Bible, pin it to your mirror, put it on the dashboard of your car, I don't know, whatever it is. Don't drive too fast and pray too long, but put it wherever you're going to see it. And this week, all of us, let's all be praying this together. Let's all be praying two things. Because then this GPS will begin to ding, ding, right turn, left turn, recalculating, make a U-turn here. And we'll have a prayer. May the gospel run through our church, our home, our workplace, our city, our country. And may we be protected from gold, glitter, gals, and guys. And Lord, would you protect the church staff? And would you protect whatever those other blanks are? And would you protect missionaries? God, we want to come arm in arm. Do you see how that finishes the prayer differently? Then we pray for us so that we'd smile more and everything be rosy. No, let the gospel and the message run. Let it run. And then you've got GPS number one and GPS number two. And you begin to pray to find your way.